And you're listening to WHUS 91.7 FM. I am Fran Storch, and for the next hour, you will be listening to Radio Naturopath. I am here with my lovely co-host. His name is Ron.
I'm lovely this morning?
Okay.
Cool.
Sure. If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can call us at 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. You can also email us at radionaturopath@gmail.com. We are podcasted, so you can listen to us on my website at FranStorchND or at WHUS.org or on iTunes. So we have a nice show for you today because it is, after all, Valentine's Day.
Yay, Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, dear.
Happy Valentine's Day, dear.
I already gave you some chocolate.
I know. It's a beautiful thing.
And you're wearing red and I'm wearing love.
I was wearing red because I thought it was Valentine's Day. I wore red this morning for the spin class too.
Aw, did you play love music? Did you play
I did. Even cheesy Love Boat music.
Yes, I know, because in our Valentine's Day playlist we have
right.
The Love Boat.
And I got groans when that came on, by the way.
That's perfect. That's what you're looking for.
I got groans on that
one. Weren't
you
going for the groans?
Yeah, well, I was.
Yeah.
I got groans on that one. I got groans on Silly Little Love Song.
Of course. Well, yeah.
One of my students said, I think that's the last thing he ever wrote before he died, was that song.
Silly Love, who, Paul McCartney?
Yeah.
Right, who
right.
died.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney
right.
died.
Right.
Okay, right. So did they mean a virtual death, or what were they referring to, the whole Paul is dead scandal, or where were they going with that?
Well, you know, I think yes.
Or
I
were they that, confusing him with John Lennon?
They might have been confusing him with John Lennon.
Okay.
That's quite possible.
That's hot. Did you know that Valentine's Day had kind of a dark origin? I don't want to get into it too much because it's depressing, but it is, I kind of knew that. We all kind of knew that it started with... you know, the Romans had their festival of Lupercalia, and they did sacrifices, and they chased women around, and they took the sacrifices, and they hit the women with them to make, and the women stood for it because they thought it made them more fertile.
This is weird.
Yeah, I know. And then they think that the reason it's called Valentine's Day is because Emperor Claudius II executed two men named Valentine on February 14th of two different years. And so they became martyrs and it became St. Valentine's Day. And then Shakespeare is part of who made Valentine's Day a romantic thing. And, you know, he was very interested in it. So he romanticized Valentine's Day in his work. And that's also when, you know, people started making, you know, Valentine's cards. And today it's like a really, it's a really big deal. You know, business-wise, people spend a lot of money on Valentine's Day. You know, they buy chocolate, they buy flowers, they buy cards, they buy jewelry, some of it with bicycle items on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's how Valentine's Day got started. But now it's a day that we like to celebrate the ones we love. And, you know, I like to celebrate the, you know, my partner. So, and the other piece is, you know, Ron and I consider our anniversary to be Valentine's Day.
Yes, we do.
And why is that, Ron?
Because you showed up at my doorstep with chocolate on Valentine's Day.
What year?
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to remember this. You're going to make me do this in public.
All right.
Yeah. It was like 13 years ago.
Yes, it was 2005.
Right.
Yes, exactly right. So
right.
I did, on February 14th, 2005, I showed up on your doorstep with chocolate. And do you know why I showed up on your doorstep with chocolate?
Because I said I like chocolate and you liked me.
That's one of the reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And the other reason is it was the inaugural chocolate festival that year.
That's right. That's the first year it happened, wasn't
yes.
it? Yes. Yeah.
So the chocolate festival is as old as our relationship.
Well, how about that?
Yes. So that's why I like to go every year with you.
So there's lots of good things about Romantic Willimantic.
Right. So the chocolate that I brought you was stuff I collected on my walk around Romantic Willimantic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the chocolate festival was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. We got to see different things. We went to Jules Verne and we saw Gay, and that was
mm-hmm.
great.
We do that every year now.
She baked. She baked up a storm.
She does bake.
And it was wonderful. Because I didn't get to go last year because I was very sick.
Right.
But the picture,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, the picture of me on my Facebook feed from 2 years ago came up, and there's this cute little photo of me with this heart and, you know, earring set that, and necklace set that I got. So, yeah. So so it was really fun. And then the co-op birthday party is always fun because there's lots of people to – that's mostly about the people that to schmooze with. And it's also a lot of fun. They send to – they Equal Exchange tends to send their most fun representative to the Willimantic Food Co-op on Valentine's Day. And you get to sample all this neat chocolate. So it's really good. So what do you think I'm going to talk about?
Well, I would think you're probably going to talk about chocolate.
Okay, let's do that.
That makes sense.
So chocolate has a lot of health benefits. It's really great. Now, if you eat poor quality chocolate that doesn't have a lot of real cocoa in it, it's not going to be as good for you as high quality chocolate or even as raw organic cocoa powder. So did you know that yesterday I had coconut yogurt for lunch with chia seeds in it, and I put some nice nuts and seeds and berries in it. I have this lovely dried berry combination that has like high antioxidant berries, and I put some sunflower seeds and pumpkin seeds in it. And I put a heaping teaspoon of unsweetened raw organic cocoa powder in it. And that was my lunch. It was great. Yeah, so that's something you can do if you want to. I have a list of savory chocolate recipes, which I'm going to share with you. But first, let's talk about chocolate issues. The average American consumes about 12 pounds of chocolate a year. And I'm wondering, I know that there are some people who don't like chocolate. And you're like, how can that be? But, you know, chocolate is not for everyone. Just like anything, you know, different things are not for everyone. You and I are people who love chocolate. And yet I have known people who are just, it's not their thing. It's not a big deal to them. They don't really care for how it tastes. And if they're going to eat something sweet, they'd rather have something fruity. Some people just don't like sweet stuff. They're just into savory. But, you know, you and I are chocolate people. You know, this body built by chocolate. So the average American consumes about 12 pounds a year. And I wonder if you and I consume more. And, you know, because it's an average and there are people who don't eat that much. So and lots of money is spent on chocolate every year. And, you know, there's a lot of antioxidants in it. So a square of dark chocolate can be actually be healthy for you. It does have free radicals fighting flavanols in it. And free radicals. What's a free radical? Put your fist in the air and fight for your rights. No, that is one example of
that
a free radical.
That would be radical. A radical. Yes.
But a free radical is... it's a compound that's missing some key electrons, and it makes it unstable, so it makes it want to replenish itself with your electrons. And when it takes the electrons from your body, it causes tissue damage. So when you consume foods with antioxidants in them, it prevents that tissue damage. And cocoa flavanols are high in antioxidant activity. And it, in fact, it's one of the top 10 high antioxidant foods. One thing I like to remind people, I say this periodically, but prunes are also very high in antioxidants. You see how dark they are, so they're going to be very high in flavanol content as well. So if you have chocolate covered prunes, you're going to get a really, if they're covered in dark chocolate, that's a really terrific high antioxidant treat, and it will keep you regular too, because prunes have compounds in them that help you go to the bathroom in addition to their fiber. So dark chocolate's cocoa has been shown to have the highest content of polyphenols and flavonoids, more than wine and tea. So the higher the cocoa or cacao percentage of your chocolate bar, the more antioxidant you're going to be getting. So we like to tell people, if you want to have some chocolate to help your health and you want a chocolate bar, you want to look for the 70%, at least 70% cocoa in your bar. And you also want it to not be Dutched. Now, if you would like to enjoy a treat, Dutching is not, it culinarily, it can be a nice thing because it takes the bitter edge off of the chocolate. And if you're not into the bitter edge, then the milk chocolate, you know, then the milk chocolate can be your thing, or you know, if you have Dutch cocoa, the thing that's what Dutching does. It's a process by which you alkalize the chocolate. So it takes out some of the acidity. And that's how it works. And but unfortunately, when you alkalize, you also reduce the antioxidant property. Here's a quote from the American Cancer Institute. Given chocolate's rich supply of flavonoids, researchers have also investigated why it may play a role in cancer prevention. The studies in cancer prevention are still emerging. A recent review of studies on the cancer protective properties of cocoa concluded that the evidence is limited but suggestive. More rigorous studies should be conducted on chocolate's cancer protective role, concluded the author, because it provides strong antioxidant effects in combination with a pleasurable eating experience. So I'm going to go with chocolate is going to help to protect against cancer because of its antioxidant activity. Things that are antioxidants, help to reduce free radical activity. And one of the places that you want it to reduce free radical activity is at the level of your genes. So the more antioxidants that you have, the more you're going to have healthy gene expression, and antioxidants promote healthy gene expression. So one of the ways that genes get damaged is by free radical damage. So if you're eating things like hydrogenated fat, or you're smoking cigarettes, or you're in a polluted place, or you're eating too much sugar, which causes inflammation, or you have a lot of inflammation going on regardless. When you have inflammation, you have tissue damage. Tissue damage leads to inflammation, which is in concert with free radical damage. So the more free radical damage and inflammation you have, the more likely you are to have disordered gene expression. So when you consume anything with antioxidants, that's going to help gene expression. And you know, there are good studies on various antioxidant-containing compounds like green tea and like curcumin, but also on cocoa flavanols. And cocoa flavanols are going to have antioxidant activity and promote healthy gene expression. So that's going to be one of the mechanisms, likely, that it's going to help to prevent cancer. But how exciting is that? If you eat raw organic cocoa powder, it's a way to do cancer prevention. It's wonderful. Guess what? You get improved cardiovascular health with cocoa flavanols. So flavanols are the main type of flavonoid that are found in dark chocolate. And according to the Cleveland Clinic, research has shown that flavanols have a positive effect on heart health. They help lower blood pressure. They improve blood flow to the heart as well as the brain. Dark chocolate flavanols can help make blood platelets less sticky and able to clot. So it's an antiplatelet aggregator. So you're going to be less likely to get blood clots, and that means you're going to be less likely to get hardening of the arteries and atherosclerosis and also strokes. So that's really cool. There's a study in the International Journal of Cardiology. They had their subject either consume a daily dose of flavonoid-rich dark chocolate or non-flavonoid white chocolate for 2 weeks. They found that the flavonoid-rich dark chocolate significantly improved heart circulation in healthy adults. So I'm thinking congestive heart failure, that somebody with congestive heart failure, you know anybody with congestive heart failure, doing raw organic cocoa might be something that would help them. On the other hand, white chocolate has no flavonoids and didn't have any positive health effects. Now, there are those that say the stearic acid does have some benefits on your lipid, that cocoa butter actually has benefits on lipid metabolism, and that doesn't have flavanols in it, that the fat is actually good for you. But this was a negative study. It said that because it didn't have flavonoids, it didn't have the good antioxidant activity and didn't improve cardiovascular function. There was a study in 2015 that followed the health of over 20,000 people for 11 years, where they concluded that cumulative evidence suggests that higher chocolate intake is associated with the risk of fewer cardiovascular events. Gosh, I think I'm good. And there doesn't appear to be any evidence to say that chocolate should be avoided in those who are concerned about cardiovascular risk. Those who consumed the most chocolate, 12% developed or died of cardiovascular disease during the study, compared to 17% who didn't. That's not that different.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
Yeah, no, I know. Hmm. It's a large and lengthy, it doesn't give anybody license to eat a chocolate bar every day. But there is a positive connection that you're going to be, that there is some, it's going to help to protect your cardiovascular health. So here, so this is interesting because we just said, the last study said that they had chocolate with lots of flavanols in it versus white chocolate that didn't have flavanols in it. And the white chocolate is going to mostly be cocoa butter. But now here, and I said that there were some positive studies about cocoa butter, but there was no, in the last study, there was no benefit in cardiovascular health from just consuming the cocoa butter, the white chocolate. And yet, here's a cocoa butter study. It says that the cocoa butter found in dark chocolate contains equal amounts of oleic acid, which is a heart-healthy monounsaturated fat that's in olive oil, and stearic and palmitic acid. And stearic and palmitic acid are saturated fat. But it show there's a study that shows that that stearic acid appears to have a neutral effect on cholesterol. It doesn't affect your cholesterol. It doesn't raise or lower it. And palmitic acid can increase cholesterol levels, but it's there's just not a lot of it in dark chocolate. And the question is, if palmitic acid raises cholesterol, does it I don't think it reduces the size of your LDL particles. In fact, it actually can increase it. It might increase your cholesterol, but it might also increase your particle size. And there's not a lot of palmitic acid in dark chocolate anyway, so it's not a big deal. So then there was a study in the Southern Medical Journal that looked at dark chocolate in 28 healthy volunteers, and they found that just 1 week of dark chocolate consumption improved lipid profiles and decreased platelet reactivity. So it's pretty powerful. That means that cocoa polyphenols may be involved in cholesterol control, and they you can increase your HDL with dark chocolate. And 15-day consumption of polyphenol-rich dark chocolate resulted in total LDL decreases. It decreases LDL, so that's very exciting. And 7-day consumption of regular dark chocolate in this study found a 6% decrease of LDL and a 9% increase in HDL. So that's pretty cool. All right. Chocolate helps your cognitive function. Oh, yeah. So if you want to know why, you know, people think I'm pretty smart. They come and see me and get naturopathic advice for me. One of the reasons I'm smart is chocolate. I can tell you that some chocolate goes into this body every day. I have some at least 70% bars. I have a few different bars in my drawer. I actually have a bar because there's a brand that sweetens their chocolate with only stevia. So I do like to have that. And so I have, and I've really trained myself to not eat a whole bar of chocolate. So if I have a chocolate bar sitting in my desk, it's going to last a couple of weeks because I really have learned how to eat one square at a time. So I might wind up in a day with, you know, at the max, depending on the day, 4 squares of chocolate and, you know, on a light day, you know, 1 to 3 squares, depending on my mood. So I'm not eating a huge amount of it. So that makes me wonder, how much flavanol do you really need to make a difference in your health? And one way around that is to eat raw organic cocoa powder, because when you do the raw organic cocoa powder, you're not dealing with the sugar, and you can have as much as you want of it. And it's going to, that's a situation where you are, the more you eat of it, the more you're going to get health benefits. So that's why adding unsweetened cocoa powder to different foods can be very nice, especially food that you're not going to heat. So you're not going to, you're not going to change the nature of the cocoa powder. Having said that, you know, like I said, there's some savory recipes that you can put cocoa powder in. So in the Journal of Nutrition in 2009, they found that flavonoid-rich dark chocolate's ability to improve cognitive ability, especially in the elderly, they found that it could increase cognitive ability in people aged 70 to 74, and they looked at the intake of chocolate, wine, and tea and cognitive performance. And all three of them were associated with better performance across several cognitive abilities. And I like all of those things. Although I don't drink a lot of wine, I do drink a fair bit of tea and, yeah, chocolate. Yeah, I got a thing about chocolate. So the other thing the cocoa flavanols do is it helps blood pressure and blood sugar. And there's a lot of studies on it. In 2015, there was a study that compared type 2 diabetics' consumption of white chocolate versus high cocoa polyphenol-rich dark chocolate. The subjects consumed a little under an ounce of dark or white chocolate for 8 weeks. I'm guessing this is a little under an ounce a day. And they found that dark chocolate lowered blood pressure, but also decreased fasting blood sugar. So if you have got high blood pressure and high blood sugar, have a little, but you need to have the 70% cocoa. And these are these people are having darker white chocolate. So presumably, the chocolate that they're eating is sweetened. So even though it's sweetened, they're having at least 70% dark chocolate, and it's sweetened. So one thing you can do, so here's a suggestion. If you're really looking for the medicinal benefits of chocolate, you might want to consider getting a brand of chocolate that's sweetened with coconut sugar. So coconut sugar is neat because it is sweet, but it has inulin in it, and inulin is a fiber. Fiber regulates blood sugar, and coconut sugar has a lower glycemic index and has some nutrition in it as opposed to regular sugar. So you can find chocolate bars that are sweetened with coconut sugar. So if you're diabetic, the higher the cocoa content, which means the lower the sugar content, the better it is. And it was a very small amount of chocolate, and it helped. So that's great. So we're talking about a square off of whatever bar. Now, if you have tiny little squares, then you could probably do two or three squares. Certain bars, the square is very large, and other bars, they're a little bit smaller. So what they're talking about, an ounce or a little less than an ounce. So you just have to figure out per chocolate bar how big a square or two is and eat that amount. It's kind of cool. So the Hershey Company published a study in Chemistry Central. Of course, Hershey's going to study chocolate. The total flavanol and polyphenol content, as well as antioxidant activity of dark chocolate and cocoa powder, were compared to superfoods like and fruits like acai, cranberry, blueberry, and pomegranate. Well, this is interesting. The dark chocolate, cocoa powders, and cocoa beverages study all contain natural or non-alkalized cocoa. Important, non-Dutched, non-alkalized, still has the antioxidants in it. This is important to note since the alkalinization of cocoa has been shown to destroy healthy polyphenol compounds, right? So if you want to get your antioxidant activity from your cocoa, you need it not to be Dutched. All right. So the study showed that the flavanol content of cocoa powder was significantly greater than all the other superfruit powders. Oh, wow. So if you want antioxidants, raw organic cocoa powder. Dark chocolate's antioxidant capacity was higher than all the superfruit juices except for pomegranate. So the total polyphenol content per serving was also highest for dark chocolate. So guess what? You can get chocolate-covered pomegranate seeds. You can also get chocolate bars with pomegranate seeds in it. So that would be something to look at. And also, you could drink pomegranate juice. And yeah, I wonder what chocolate stirred into... you know what you could do is stir some pomegranate juice into hot cocoa. That would be a neat thing to do. And then you'd have pomegranate-flavored hot cocoa. And then you'd have an antioxidant powerhouse. Oh, yeah. You know, there's several types of chocolate. Most people divide it into white, milk, and dark. And there's no standard of identity. The FDA doesn't have a standard of identity for dark chocolate. But the consensus is that dark chocolate usually contains between 70 to 99% pure cocoa or solids. It's made from cacao, which is harvested in various countries in the world. And raw cocoa powder is made by cold pressing unroasted cocoa beans. General cocoa powder is heated at much higher temperatures, and Dutch cocoa gets washed in a potassium solution that neutralizes the acidity. Dutched chocolate is darker in color than non-Dutched. So dark chocolate can also be known as semi-sweet chocolate, and extra dark is often called bittersweet. But again, there's no rule about what you can call it. Some you can use in baking, and, you know, legally milk chocolate only needs to be at least 10% pure chocolate with 3.39% milk and at least 12% milk solids. So, and there's also some concern that the proteins in milk might reduce the absorption of the healthy antioxidants from the cocoa, thought that it binds to the flavonoids, so it makes them not bioavailable. So if you want to get the health benefits of chocolate, having it with milk, you're not going to get it so much. So if you want to drink hot cocoa, not having it with milk is a good idea. And if you want a dairy substitute with your hot cocoa, you probably want one that doesn't have a lot of protein in it, because the protein is going to seek out the cocoa. So if you want a dairy substitute, you might be looking at coconut. Coconut milk might be a good one, because I don't think there's a lot of protein in coconut milk. So white chocolate doesn't have, only has cocoa butter, but you're going to get the cocoa butter benefits, the lipid balancing. You're not going to get the antioxidant benefits, but you will get the lipid balancing. I don't know why that doesn't say that there, but the lipid balancing benefits of cocoa butter, the oleic acid that's in it is still going to lower your LDL and raise your HDL. So the reason they recommend having only a little bit of cocoa is because you only need an ounce to have health benefits. And that ounce can be sweetened. But I'm going to say that if you're doing unsweetened cocoa, you can have more. You can have as much as you want, because it's very low in calories, doesn't have sugar, and it's got pure antioxidant activity. And there's ways to prepare it, and there's ways that you can eat it where it doesn't have so much sugar in it. So there's a lot of nutrients in dark chocolate. So if an ounce of dark chocolate is going to have around 168 calories. It's going to have 12.8 grams of carbohydrates, which for 168 calories, that's not a lot of carbohydrates. It's pretty cool. It has 2.2 grams of protein, 12 grams of fat, 3.1 grams of fiber, a little bit of manganese, copper, iron. It has 63 milligrams of magnesium, that's a reasonable amount. So one of the things we see is that when people are stressed, they crave chocolate, and chocolate can help them to calm down. And part of why is because of its magnesium content. And often women will crave it in their time right before their menses, because you tend to be a little low in magnesium. There's a decent amount of potassium in an ounce of chocolate, 200 milligrams. That's pretty good. So there's a tiny bit of vitamin K and zinc and selenium, really, you know, window dressing for selenium, but not very much at all. And a little bit of calcium, 20 milligrams, which is not nothing. It's something. It's not huge, but it's pretty good.
And so, you know what smart men do?
They give women chocolate on Valentine's Day.
Well, they always keep chocolate in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Always keep a private stash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
that's what smart men do.
We don't have a problem with that.
No, we don't, because we both love chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, so if you're going to eat, if you're going to eat chocolate, you're going to do better if the chocolate bar you have is either plain, or it's got a healthy nut in it, or it's got some healthy fruit in it, like goji berries, which are high in antioxidants, or what our big powerhouse, the pomegranate, ounce for ounce, has similar antioxidant capacity to chocolate. So if you get a chocolate bar with pomegranate seeds in it, or pomegranate in it, that'd be great. You can get chocolate-covered pomegranate, too. So, and you could also just eat your chocolate and have it with some pomegranate juice.
You can get chocolate-covered anything.
Yeah,
pretty much. If you want.
Get chocolate-covered bacon.
Yeah.
I've had it.
Yeah, I'm sure you I've actually had that.
Yeah, I get that down in Jersey.
So this, what's the deal with white chocolate?
Right.
I mean,
so we were talking about that a little bit before. So this, because there's studies on cocoa butter. White chocolate is essentially sweetened hardened cocoa butter. So there's benefits to cocoa butter. There's no flavanols in it. And I think it tastes good. I think that cocoa butter still tastes and smells chocolatey, so I enjoy it. It's just different. You're not going to get the same thing. You're not going to get the same experience as you're getting with dark chocolate.
Is it better for you?
No.
What?
What's
the deal?
Well, I'm gonna say if it's a yes or no question, I'm gonna say no. It's not better for you, but it's not totally bad for you either, because cocoa butter has some health benefits.
Okay.
So part of why you get the lipid regulating benefits and the cardiovascular benefits from chocolate are the fats that are in it. So because it has oleic acid in it and has stearic acid in it, it's pretty high in oleic acid. Oleic acid is the same monounsaturated fat that's in olive oil, and it lowers LDL, it raises HDL. So if you want to have white chocolate sometimes, you could do it. It just tends to be sweet. So if you go to your favorite cafe and get a white chocolate mocha, they tend to be really high in calories and very sweet.
Yeah, there's a lot of sugar in it.
So that's the other piece, is that, you know, white chocolate, you know, it doesn't have the, it's not bitter. It doesn't have any bitter notes because it doesn't have the, cocoa flavanols in it. It's got, you know, it's got the dark elements taken out. It's just basically the cocoa butter. So no, it's not 100% bad for you. But if you're looking for all of the antioxidant benefits and the blood sugar regulating benefits of the flavanols, then you need to eat dark chocolate and you need to eat at least 70%. And like I said, if you eat unsweetened chocolate, you can have as much as you want. If you eat sweetened chocolate, then you have to limit the amount. And we know that the health benefits, you get health benefits from eating just 1 ounce of dark chocolate a day of at least, you know, 70%. So they think that the history of dark chocolate goes back to, wait for it, 1900 BC. And who was it? It was the Aztecs. They think that
that would make sense because regionally the cocoa plants are probably growing more down.
They grow, they're tropical.
They're tropical,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, now chocolate can cause some health issues. So, depending on the person, they're not, it can cause some health issues. So the Mayo Clinic says the chocolate can cause acne. So whether the chocolate is causing acne, when they say chocolate causes acne, I have to wonder what chocolate is causing acne. Again, if you're doing raw organic cocoa powder, is it still going to cause acne? What tends to cause acne and what tends to exacerbate acne is sugar. Anything that raises your insulin, because it causes inflammation and it has a relationship with your androgens, unfortunately. So, if you have allergies to it, it can make you allergic. If you're sensitive to it, it can cause digestive upset. And it also says here it causes decreased bone density. I can't believe that it's the cocoa that's doing that. I think it's the sugar. It also says it can cause dental caries. Again, I don't believe that that's the cocoa. If it's plain raw organic cocoa, I don't think it's going to cause that. It has to do with the sugar. So obviously, if you eat chocolate and you don't feel good, you shouldn't eat it. If you eat anything and you don't feel good, you shouldn't eat it. So I wanted to talk about some savory chocolate recipes. So you can add cocoa to things that don't necessarily have sugar in them, here's some interesting ways to think of chocolate that might be a little bit different than what you might have thought of. So you can make cocoa-rubbed baby back ribs. And in the rub, you can put cinnamon, allspice, and ginger. And then you put in cocoa powder. And you don't necessarily have to add sugar. And you can put in mustard powder, too. So this is a recipe I'm seeing here. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
That's
cool.
You can make white chocolate baba ganoush. So baba ganoush, if you haven't had it, I love baba ganoush. Baba ganoush isn't everybody's cup of tea or bowl of dip, but Well, that's what it is. It's a dip.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not everybody's bowl of dip, but it is a bowl of dip. That's what it is. What do you do? I mean, you can eat it with a spoon, I suppose, but most people take, you know, veggies or crackers or bread
it.
And yeah, mm-hmm. Or you use it as a spread on your sandwich. So baba ganoush is a pretty cool spread. Depending on who's making it, it can be okay and it can be delicious. And baba ganoush is it's similar to hummus. So it usually, depending on who's making it, it has chickpeas, it has olive oil, usually garlic, lemon juice, tahini, which is ground sesame seeds, and eggplant. And what makes it baba ganoush is that there's eggplant in it. So I love it. And if you roast the eggplant so that it's smoky, I love it even more. And I've had baba ganoush that has smoky notes to it. It's really terrific. So there's a recipe here where you can add white chocolate to it, which complements the nutty flavor of the tahini. And you also put paprika in it. And you could use smoked paprika, which is like secret ingredient. Number 8 is really terrific.
Lovely.
What? Mm. You're not a fan. All right.
Smoke flavor?
What about chocolate as a... Yeah, well, Baba Ghanoush has a smoky flavor to it.
Right.
Which I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can put chocolate in your chili.
Wow, I haven't done that before.
That's a good secret ingredient. If I were going to put chocolate in the chili, I'd also put some coffee in it. And that would bring out... That's a really neat idea. That would probably taste really good.
Would you put something really dark, like a bittery type chocolate?
Sure,
something
of course.
Like, almost like a baking chocolate?
Yeah, yeah. Right. Or you put raw organic cocoa powder.
Oh, there you go. Right.
And you can decide whether you want to use semi-sweet chocolate as well. And it will add darkness and depth. And that's... when you add stuff like that, putting the coffee in will really complement it. Yes, in the chili. That would be really delicious. Like just your ordinary chili, whatever you usually like in your chili, whether you like ground beef or turkey or beans, you could do a vegetarian. But I think that would be really good.
I have to try that next time.
Sounds good.
Okay. Pretty cool.
I found another savory recipe, charred cauliflower and peppers with picada sauce. So picada is a Catalan pesto. So this is a pesto from Spain.
Okay.
And you can make it with almonds, parsley, and chocolate. It's really neat.
Mm.
That sounds really interesting. You can make turkey and mole poblano. So mole poblano, that's a classic savory chocolate recipe that we think of. So mole poblano, I'm assuming, is from the state of Puebla. Because poblanos, people who are poblanos, are from Puebla. And in Puebla, they make mole.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Although when Marcos was around, Marcos is from Veracruz, and he made me mole, and it was good. His mole had peanut butter, and it had chocolate in it.
Mm.
You used, a lot of different kinds of peppers, chiles, and spices, and, cocoa powder. And so mole, one of the ingredients in mole is chocolate. You could make chocolate barbecue sauce.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you include a little bit of chocolate.
Well, our friend Doug does some chocolate things with his hot sauce.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
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 And that's a neat thing you could do. Here is a Gascon-style beef stew where they put Armagnac chocolate and Madeiran wine. So that's neat. And this looks like a fish dish with chocolate. I can't see. Enchiladas. There you go. They're simply drenched. They're enchiladas that aren't baked. And they're just covered in a fruity dried chile sauce with chocolate in it. So that's cool. And, of course, more chicken and mole poblano. And then here's a neat soup. Chile ancho sopa de chocolate. So... This is a soup which has peppers, onions, and tomatoes, and also chocolate. So that's going to be a delicious soup. And then here's an eggplant caponata, which is an Italian eggplant dish with caramelized onions and raisins, and there's grated chocolate in it. So if you're interested in some savory recipes, so chocolate is not for dessert only. You can... So here's the other thing. So Ron and I have our no-brainer salad, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have our terrific no-brainer salad. So if
yes,
we want to make our no-brainer salad on the sweet side, we'll have our usual ingredients, which is going to be some usually mixed greens. So I recommend the mixed greens. And then, you would shred on some carrots and some radish. And we add some whatever tomatoes are in season. And the tomatoes are pretty anemic right now.
They're a little anemic right now.
Because they're coming from far away. And
or they're hothouse. One
right.
or the two. You know, it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
But they're a little more mealy, textured right now.
So
not as juicy.
And then we grate on the beets.
Right.
And then if you want to make the
cucumbers.
And cucumber as well. Mm-hmm. So if you want to make the salad a little on the sweet side, We usually like to use olive oil. I don't really care to use canola oil because I'm always worried it's broken down, and canola oil really needs to be organic or it can be GMO. Mm-hmm. So I prefer to use olive oil. So I'll use olive oil. And then because the salad's on the sweet side, I would use a sweet vinegar. If you have a sweet vinegar that you've gotten at a curated shop, you can get a raspberry vinaigrette or something with a nice fruity mm-hmm. taste to it. Mm-hmm. Or if you just want to go to the regular store, you can get a balsamic vinegar. And I would recommend doing the balsamic vinegar. And then atop that salad, I would find some fresh raspberries, cover it in fresh raspberries, and they get crushed cacao nibs and mm-hmm. put that over the salad.
Oh, and make it a little crunchy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you'd have a sweet salad. And then cheese-wise, I would do a sweeter cheese. So goat cheese would go wonderfully with that.
Hmm.
Yeah. And so you crumble on some goat cheese. Or you can find a sweeter cheese, like that you can get cheese that has fruit in it. There's brands of cheese that you can get that are cheese mixed with cranberries or blueberries or cherries.
Sounds great. Maybe because it's Valentine's Day, we should have some in our salad tonight.
Okay. So we got to get some raspberries then.
Sure.
Okay.
If we don't have any, yeah.
Right. And we do have that dried berry mix. That would work too. That would be just fine if we didn't manage to get
out.
The other thing I like to put on salad that's easy, so you could do fresh raspberries if you want to, but if you want to do something dried because you don't want to get the imported fresh fruit that's been imported from far away this time of year,
mm-hmm.
and you want to do dried, I like to do that antioxidant berry mix, and I get this antioxidant berry mix. And it's dried, and it has golden berry, blueberry, raspberry, and it's got goji berries in it, and a few raisins. And you can also use straight up goji berries.
Mm-hmm.
I like to use goji berries and also dried cranberries. And those on their own, they're nice to have around. You can throw that on your salad and do some cacao nibs on them, and you're going to get the antioxidant benefits of those things. If you can find a pomegranate that's in decent shape, you can throw pomegranate seeds on your salad as well. Then you have a nice...
I like cranberries on my salad.
Very good.
It's a little sweet, but it's a little, it's good.
Right. Okay, so chocolate and chocolate. All right. What I have some information here about cocoa flavanols and exercise. So I found a study from on PubMed that was written by DeCroix et al. And it says that cocoa flavanols have antioxidant and anti-inflammatory capacities and can improve vascular function. It has recently been suggested that cocoa flavanol intake may improve exercise performance and recovery. This is a systematic review, so it's a meta-analysis, and they looked over the literature, over a number of databases. They found acute, subchronic, which is 2 weeks, and chronic, 3 months, of cocoa flavanol intake in reduced exercise-induced oxidative stress. Neat-o. Evidence on the effects of cocoa flavanols on exercise-induced inflammation and platelet activation was scarce. But acute cocoa flavanol intake reduced and tempered the exercise-induced increase in blood pressure in obese participants. Acute and subchronic cocoa flavanol intake altered fat and carbohydrate metabolism during exercise. Acute and subchronic cocoa flavanol intake did not have ergogenic effects in athletes, while chronic cocoa flavanol intake improved mitochondrial efficiency in untrained participants. While combining subchronic cocoa flavanol intake and exercise training, it improved cardiovascular risk factors and blood vessel function. Evidence on the synergistic effects of cocoa flavanol and exercise training on oxidative stress, inflammation, and fat and glucose metabolism was lacking. So they ultimately concluded that cocoa flavanol intake may improve vascular function, reduce exercise-induced oxidative stress, and alter fat and carbohydrate utilization during exercise, but without affecting exercise performance. So I don't know that it increases your exercise performance, but it does improve these metabolic factors. So, and they think they need to do more studies. But it does improve vascular function. So if you're if you tend to have high blood pressure and you think that your exercise is aggravating your blood pressure, doing cocoa after you exercise could be a good thing, and maybe even during, if you can tolerate it during. Some people can and some people can't. I have a hard time eating anything substantial, so I have to minimize what I eat, and I have to eat small amounts at regular intervals while I'm doing long exercise. But I probably should be including some cocoa powder post-exercise whenever I exercise, that it's going to reduce the oxidative stress. And, you know, it's no problem for me to have at least a square of dark chocolate a day. I have no problem doing that. But I do like the idea of having raw organic cocoa nibs around and raw organic cocoa powder around, because, again, you can have as much as you like, and it doesn't have a lot of calories if you're worried about calories, but it is nutritious. The issues that they talk about with inflammation and chocolate and weight gain and all that stuff, they're talking about the sugar. It's not really the chocolate, it's the sugar. Yeah. So there's also evidence about cocoa flavanols and diabetes. So here's an abstract. So there's growing evidence that support that insulin resistance may occur as a severe problem due to chronic eating too much and gaining weight. When you eat too much sugar and saturated fat and they get into the cell, you get impaired blood flow, you get lower oxygen, you get inflammation, you get macrophage infiltration. So macrophages are cells that clean up junk. And when they're cleaning up junk, you get oxidative activity if it's in your fat tissues. So they can induce more oxidative stress and insulin resistance. So when you have too much circulating saturated fatty acids, they're going to accumulate in insulin-sensitive tissues and impair insulin action. So the more fat you have around, it's a vicious cycle. The more fat you have around, the worse your insulin activity is, which means the more fat you have around, the fatter you can get, because there's insulinogenic activity in fat. It's not just that you have the fat there. It's that the fat is metabolically active, and it causes more insulin activity. So you got to break the cycle. So the most often occurring polyphenol compounds are flavonoids. And there's a mechanistic effect of flavonoid-rich natural products on insulin-resistance metabolic pathways. So when you eat polyphenols, they can prevent high-fat-induced insulin resistance. And there's some protein and estrogen receptors that handles that. Anyway, so you upregulate genes that help with insulin regulation when you do flavanol rich foods. So this is any food that's going to be high in flavanols, and you extrapolate in, because cocoa is so high in flavanols, it's going to do that. So doing raw organic cocoa, whether you're doing it in cocoa powder or in your high cocoa content confection or in cocoa nibs, it helps with insulin regulation. That's one of the things that it does. So that's a neat thing. It's really good. Now, there was an article in Men's Fitness a while back. Yeah, well, a couple years ago. And it talked about, it was in Men's Fitness. And it says that there was a study that was in the Journal of International Society of Sports Nutrition. They had Kingston University. They had a group of 9 amateur cyclists. Yay, cyclists. And after they did an initial fitness test to establish a baseline, the participants were split into 2 groups, and the first was asked to replace one of their normal daily snacks with about 40 grams of flavanol-rich dark chocolate for 2 weeks, while the other participant served as the control, substituting 40 grams of white chocolate. And then they did cycling tests and they did time trials. During the time trials, the cyclists' heart rates and oxygen consumption levels were measured to track the effects of daily chocolate consumption. Would you participate in a study like this where you had to eat chocolate and ride your bike every day?
When do you want to start?
So this is a study on people where they told them you must eat chocolate every day and you must ride your bike every day.
Oh, my goodness. What a horrible thing to do to someone.
I know. Right?
Wow.
After a 7-day interval, switched the type of... So you have to do a week of dark chocolate and a week of white chocolate. So you're going to have a white chocolate week, sorry. And during that white chocolate week, you would not be able to eat dark chocolate.
It's like light beer.
I know.
It really doesn't have the same effect.
Yeah.
You know?
I think white chocolate tastes better than white beer.
Light beer. Yeah. Well, I agree with that. Yeah. I definitely agree with that. But it's kind of like, why bother chocolate?
Well, again, as I said before.
I know
before,
it has benefits. I know it's good
that's
for
why.
Some people. And I get all
flavor-wise, that. Flavor-wise, I hear that you are not interested. But it's
missing an essential flavor. Chocolate.
So here, let's see what happened. The dark chocolate snacking riders used less oxygen when cycling at a moderate pace and also covered more distance in a 2-minute flat-out time trial than the white chocolate snackers. Wow. Hmm. How much chocolate did they eat? 4 squares. 40 grams. 40 grams of chocolate. So, wow. So these people ate 40 grams of chocolate every day. So we have to figure out how much 40 grams is. How many grams are in an ounce? I forget. Could you look up how many grams are in an ounce?
There's, hang on, I know that 455 grams in an ounce.
455 grams?
I think so.
Look that up.
Hang on.
I think that's right. I think you're a little heavy there. Did researchers just give them the green light for dark chocolate becoming a staple part of athletes? Pretty much. Now they're hoping to nail down the specifics. We want to see whether the boost in performance is a short-term effect. You eat a bar and within a day it works, whether it takes slightly longer, which is what the initial research is showing. So how many grams in an ounce?
Okay, that was a pound. Sorry about that.
I know. That's what I thought.
28.34
grams in an ounce. Okay,
right.
And they're saying eat 40 grams
I think
a day. Yeah, so you're talking an ounce and a half. So an ounce and a half of dark chocolate a day can improve your exercise performance.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
That's nice.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're also investigating the optimal level of flavanols. There's not a lot of consistency in flavanol levels in commercially available chocolate. And then they're going to compare the activity to beet juice, because beet juice also can improve performance because of its nitric oxide activity. It's a vasodilator. So it helps with circulation and energy. So because of its increase in nitric oxide, it makes your cardiovascular system more efficient. I don't mind drinking beet juice.
Mm.
So 70% cacao. So the highest content of cacao, and you're talking 40 grams, which is, that's like an ounce and a half. That's not very much. So you just have to figure out for your favorite chocolate bar how many squares that is, because the squares vary. But I know, because I buy so many different kinds of chocolate bars. The square size varies, and, you know, how many ounces per square, you have to do some math on it. So very interesting. All right. Well, this has been fun. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone.
Yay.
If you have a partner, bless you. Enjoy your partner. Have fun. I hope you have some nice experiences today, whether it's chocolate or flowers or romance in the bedroom or something like that.
Or if you have a family, a loved one, you know,
yes.
That's Valentine's Day can be used there too.
That's
right.
Absolutely.
Or spread
the love around, you know,
yes.
Share love with your parents, your friends, your siblings, your children. Have fun with it. If you don't have a partner, it's okay. There's lots of love to be had. And if you want a partner, good wishes for obtaining a lovely partner for you in the coming years. And if you don't want one, if you have no Heypenny, then God bless you. All right. So it's been really great hanging out with you here on Radio Naturopath, here on 91.7 FM WHUS Doors. I am Fran Storch, here with my co-host Ron Meniza.
Hey there.
And we will be back next week with more Radio Naturopath here on WHUS 91.7 FM.